Before we read from the Word of God, I just have a few announcements. At Monday at 7 p.m. is the Bible Explorers. Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. is the prayer meeting and Bible study, continuing in Colossians chapter 2. On Sunday at 11 a.m. is the breaking of bread. And at 2:30 p.m. on Sunday is Sunday school, followed by the prayer meeting at 4 p.m. and the gospel meeting again at 4:30. And the speaker expected is William Crawford from Kells, an all-announced subject to the will of God. Now, tonight I had planned on telling you my conversion, or telling you how I got saved, how I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the events in my life that led up to that moment when I put my trust in Him. So I have a couple of verses I would like to read, the first of which is found in 2 Timothy in chapter 3, and reading at verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." And the second verse I would like to read is found in John chapter 3 and verse 16. And if you don't have a Bible, the verse is behind me here and you can follow along. So John chapter 3 and verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I'll just read that again. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, as I said, I plan on telling you how I was saved. Now, I was born in 1985. I'm nearly 40 years old. Time does not stop, unfortunately. We only get older. And when I was asked to take the meeting and to tell my testimony, I didn't actually realise, but I found out once when I checked the dates again, that in 18 days I will have been saved 20 years. God has blessed me, and blessed me with a family that I love, and so life has been good. But obviously I want to tell you how I got to that point when I trusted in the Lord. And when I was a young boy, we moved to a town called, I was only, I think, about 2 years old. Oh, sorry, I forgot to say that I was born under the sound of the gospel. My dad was saved, but my mum wasn't. Both sets of my grandparents were saved. So I had a good influence from day one. I'm pretty sure that I was prayed for by my grandparents and by my father, and that one day that I would be saved. And when I was about two, as a family, when my sister was born, we moved to a town called Belmahinch. Now, I'm sure most will know where Belmahinch is, but there's a lot of young ones in the meeting tonight. Belmahinch is on the other side of Belfast in County Down. It's sort of between Belfast and Newcastle. It was sort of a wee small town. And it was there that I lived probably the first half of my life. And we were taken along to a wee gospel hall in a wee village called Drumness. Now, Drumness is very small, and it was only about 3 miles outside of Belmahinch. And every Sunday, I would have been taken along when I was able. I would have went to the breaking of bread when I was old enough. But otherwise, I would have been taken to Sunday school, and I would have been taken to the gospel meeting, just like this evening. And I would have been taken faithfully every Sunday. And as we read in 2 Timothy, it wasn't long until I was at an age of understanding where I knew what the Bible contained and what I was, and that was that I was a sinner. Everyone here tonight is a sinner. The Bible tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I knew this from when I was no older than some of the young ones here this evening, 4 or 5 years old. I knew I was a sinner. But as you learn in Sunday school, I also learned that I needed to be saved, because the Bible tells us that there's two places. There's hell and there's heaven. And as a sinner, I was destined to go to hell. But as we read again in John 3:16, and the verse tells us behind, but God loved us so much that he sent his only son to die for us on the cross. And believe in the Lord. And there's a question that was asked in Acts, but what must I do to be saved? And the response was, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So these things I knew from very young. I knew I was a sinner. I knew I needed to be saved. But as time went on, I didn't do anything about it. It wasn't my priority in life. I didn't ignore it, but I just set it to the side. And the strange thing was, I believed that this was the Word of God. I believed that God existed. I believed that I needed to be saved, and I wanted to be saved. But for me, just the timing just wasn't right. And I don't know at a young age what I was expecting life to be like or what I was planning on doing, but just even from that young age, it was just, I've got a whole life ahead of me. I can wait. And time moved on, and I went through primary school, and again continued to go to and from meetings, and gospel was preached. I'm sure there were some nights where I felt convicted and wanted to be saved. Other nights I probably switched off and I was thinking about football at school, or I was thinking about something else. But deep down, I always wanted to be saved. But as I was getting older, and I was turning around, getting towards high school, two things really spoke to me. And the first was that one of the preachers had spoke about the Lord's return. Now, as we learn from our Bible, and it's the verse behind us, the Lord Jesus came to this, and you learn at Sunday school, etc., if you come along to Sunday school, that the Lord Jesus Christ came to this world, and he came for one reason, and that was to die on the cross. And he went to the cross and he died and he rose again. But the Bible tells us that he went back to heaven. And he's currently sitting at the right hand of God. But the Lord Jesus, when he was here, he said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. We all know as Christians here, and at the time I wasn't aware of it, but it was a shock to me that the Lord Jesus was to come back. And nobody knew when he was going to come back. And that scared me. It's the first time I ever heard that suddenly I could be sitting in a gospel meeting and suddenly, just like a click of your fingers, everybody was gone and I would have been left behind. And this really put the fear into me, and that night I was really eager to be saved, but I didn't get it. And I continued on, and it bothered me for some time. And I remember as a young boy, I would have woke up, thought I heard something in the house, and I would have woke up thinking that, well, maybe tonight the Lord has come. And I would have tiptoed out of my room, went over to my mum and dad's bedroom, and I would have listened out, and I could hear my dad snoring. And sometimes you didn't have to leave the bedroom to hear it, but that could have calmed me down, relaxed me. And I would have went back to bed. I would have thought maybe no more of it, and went back to sleep. And this carried on for quite a while. Something that always scared me. But as I said before, I wanted to be saved, but again, it wasn't the right time. And in my head, looking back, I don't know what the right time was. The Bible tells us, behold, now is the accepted time. But in my head, it just wasn't the right time. And I started high school in Belfast. So it was a wee bit of a journey away from Ballinahenge, just about 30, 40 minutes in the bus. And I was there. I met a group of friends and came quite close to them. There was a group of four of us. But not long after I had started high school, my mum's side, my grandfather's mum, suddenly passed away. And I was very close to my nana. And up until now, I hadn't really had to deal with death in any kind, any sort of way. Obviously, you hear of people that have died, but people you don't know. And it doesn't really touch you the same way as when you're a child and you lose somebody that's close to you. And this was another thing that spoke massively to me. But it wasn't until we were standing at the grave And I could see the coffin being laid down, that it really hit me that she wasn't here anymore. And the Bible tells us that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. You know, we just have to look around us, and we know, because of sin in this world, that we're all destined to die at some point, unless the Lord returns. But at the time, I knew, because obviously I had what I had learned at Sunday school, I knew that my Nana was saved. I knew there was a point in her life where she had trusted in the Lord as Saviour. And I knew that she was in heaven. But even though I knew that, it didn't console me, because what was running through my head was the thought, well, if I died today, I would never see her again. If I died today, I wouldn't be in heaven. And the only other place I could be would be in hell. And this spoke to me loudly, very loudly, and I went home after the funeral. The reception was at, a lot of the family went back to my grandparents' house, and I remember going off into the bedroom and locking myself in there, and I was unconsolable, and people came and went, tried to calm me down, but I just wanted to be safe. But again, it was just another opportunity that I missed. And time again went on. But as time went on, and I started to go through high school, I started with the group of friends that I had, other things started to get in the way. Obviously, things like football, friends, gaming, and all these different things just started to take up all my time. Where I would have went to school, came home, did a homework, and then went on the computer for, could have went on for 4 or 5 hours. Never thought much of it, just went on, did it, and just into a routine, same thing over and over again, just doing it, no thought about salvation, no thought about my sins, no thought about anything, just going home and just getting into a rhythm, and it just things just carried on like that throughout high school. But the strange thing is that it would have been brought up from time to time in school with my friends. You go to church? Yes, I go to church. And what church do you go to? Oh, the Gospel Hall. All right, okay. And I would have told them about the Bible. I would have told them about the stories in the Bible. From time to time, I would even have told them the gospel message. And I'm telling my friends at school about how they can be saved and how they could be in heaven, but yet I hadn't done it myself. I hadn't trusted in the Lord myself. Again, as I say, it never ever left me the thought of getting saved, that I wanted to get saved at some point. But there was always just a distraction, always something in my head I would rather do. And this carried on throughout high school. But as I was getting older, I was about 16, and we started, I'll be honest, I said at the start that my mum wasn't saved, and up until really when I was 16, I always just assumed that she was. I never thought any more about it. She went along to the gospel meetings like I did. She was, her mum and dad were saved, my grandparents were saved, and I always just assumed that she was saved. But what came shock to me whenever I was 16 was we had started coming along to this hall actually from Belmahinch, and there was a series of meetings back in 2001, and the speakers were Murray McCandless and Peter Orosok, and we had started coming along, and we were coming regularly most nights, and then I found out just by the chat around the homes that my mum was eager to be saved. And this was a shock to me. I just had always assumed that my mum was saved, and it was it was just another shock to me. And during those meetings, my mother put her faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And a few days later, as we were coming up, my sister did the same. And of course, this then was another big shock to me, because now I was the last one. My dad was saved. My mum was saved, my sister was saved, and I still hadn't put my faith and trust in the Lord. And again, this was another thing that was talking to me loudly. And I remember one evening after the gospel meeting, Murray McCandless, as we were walking out, and the preacher shook her hand. Murray McCandless shook my hand and said, "Lee, do you have time to talk?" And I said, "Yes, that's fine." And at the time, I was eager to be saved. And he took me off into one of the wee back rooms, and he asked me, "Do I want to be saved?" And I said, "Yes." And this was the truth. It's always been the truth, but this was even more relevant in my life that I wanted it now. But so he opened the Bible and he read some verses with me and he prayed with me and said, "Now I'll leave it with you, and don't feel if you need to talk again, come and talk to me." And again, I go home and I'm thinking about it in the car on the way home, and I get into bed and I'm thinking about it. But you fall asleep, and the next day comes, and the next day's a school day, and you're back to school, and you're back with your friends, and suddenly it's talk about football, and then suddenly it's talk about something else, and it's talk about this, and suddenly the thoughts of salvation start to disappear. But like all things, school ended, and at the time my dad had started working up in the Ballymena area, and it wasn't long after school had finished that he had offered me a job, because I didn't get the results that I needed. I wasn't very good at school. I didn't have the patience for it. And so I took the job offer, and as a family we moved up local to the Ballymena area. And we started to, my family started to come here. So it was here when I was about 18 that we started to come along to the gospel meetings and the Sunday school and etc. here. But again, nothing changed. But then as I was 18, there was other distractions. So now it was like any excuse to get down to Belfast. So it was like I would got on the bus, I would have went down to my friend's house, stayed the night there, did things that 18-year-olds do, and the thoughts of salvation just were thin and few. But again, time moved on, but I started to meet some nice people, and I became friendly with some people in the hall here, and it was just a different experience. It wasn't quite the same, and as what you were hanging out with your other friends, there was just something that these people had, but I knew what I was missing. And Michael McKillen had organised a Bible learning weekend for young Christians. And I remember coming home one day, and I had no intention of going. I'd heard about it, but I had no intention of going. I wasn't saved. I thought, no, I don't need to go to that. I've got my own things to do. But I remember coming home, my mum says, we've said you're going along. I was like, right, okay. I'm not normally argumentative, so I sort of just agreed with my mum, says, right, okay, I'll go. So this was up in Annalong, near Newcastle, and along we went. And it was a bit of an eye-opener. You know, coming along to the gospel meeting and hearing the gospel preached, it was good for me. But what I really needed was to see that thing that was missing. So whenever I was hanging about with all these Christians my age, I could see that they had something I didn't have. And I could see that they had a peace and a love for one another and a love for the Lord Jesus I didn't have. And it was during this weekend, and it was actually during the morning meeting actually, when we had all been taken along, and I was sitting at the back. And as they were giving thanks for God's Son, the Lord Jesus, that I just had it in my heart that I was going to get saved, and I was going to get saved today. And I had made the decision. It didn't matter about my friends in Belfast. It didn't matter about football. It didn't matter about anything else I had an interest in. I made the decision that morning. My number one priority was that I was going to get saved, and I was going to get saved today. And funny enough, that night, the meeting that was being held here, we were coming back on the Sunday afternoon, and the meeting that was being held here, the two speakers were actually my father and my uncle. So I was really eager to come back to the meeting. And we came back on the bus, and I was thinking about it all the way back on the bus and thinking about it. And when we got back here, I was sitting in the middle near the back, and my uncle got up and he read the verse I read from 2 Timothy. "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation." And just there, sitting in that seat near the back, I started to realise All along I've known everything I need to know to be saved. And this verse behind you, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And just there, sitting in that seat, I trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ and I believed in him, that what he did on the cross, he did it for me. And if I could just replace my name in that verse, "For God so loved Lee McKibben that he gave his only begotten Son." And there and then I put my faith and trust in him. Obviously I didn't, when you get saved, it's joyous, and up until that point I hadn't been a big singer. I wouldn't have really sung, but I obviously, at the end, I was singing the hymn, and I remember somebody saying to me afterwards, "I noticed Lee was singing, I think there's something different in him." And so it was good to know that even then somebody could see that there was a difference in me, that I was singing the hymns with a love and appreciation for Jesus and what he had did for me on the cross. And I remember going out, and I remember going out into the car, not sure how I would approach it, and my dad was in the car with me, and how I would approach telling them. And I told them that I got saved, and my dad broke down, and he was very happy for me. Then I went home, and I was ringing the grandparents and telling them that I got saved, and ringing the other grandparents and telling them I got saved. And the news of my salvation started to spread across. But you have the same decision tonight that I had, and what I had many nights. I couldn't tell you how many gospel meetings I was at. I'm sure it was hundreds upon hundreds. But as I said before, I never made it my number one priority. And until you make it your number one priority, then God will save you. He says that he will save you. And I pray tonight that there's a lot of young ones here tonight, and you know, it's the best time to get saved is when you're young. There's nothing in this world. You know, the world fills us full of everything. You just have to pick up your phone now and things are flashing at you. You've all these things on your phone, TikTok, and Facebook's an old one now, but TikTok and Instagram and all these things. And you've got the internet and you've got football and you've got TV. The world is just bombarding you with all this information and all these things that you think that if you get saved, you're going to miss out on something. Well, if you don't get saved, you'll miss out on everything. So the Bible tells us, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world but lose his own soul?" It's not worth it. The world is not worth it. So I'll just leave this verse with you, and then I'll sit down and hand the meeting over to my father. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Thank you.
Good evening, and as Lee has said, we'd like to welcome everyone who has come to the gospel meeting this evening. And hearing his story again, it brings a few tears to the eye. Excuse me for this, but to know that your son will never be in hell. That was our desire for Lee and Clara when they came into this world. And that is our desire for everyone in the gospel meeting this evening. You know, it is possible, as Lee has already told you, of how he came in through those doors, in his sins, on his way to a lost eternity, and left out through those doors. With his sins forgiven, and on his way to heaven. That is something that money can't buy. And it's something too that Lee and I have in common. Because I go back to a gospel meeting such as this on the 9th of January 1977. I came into a little gospel hall in Annalong. And left it, knowing my sins forgiven and heaven as my eternal home. And friend, in the meeting tonight, no matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, that could be your experience. Because the Bible tells us all have sinned. That's what you are before God. But the Bible also tells us that Christ died for our sins. And as the verse behind us says, that everyone that believes on him will know their sins forgiven and have everlasting life. I would like to read two portions of scripture to continue. The first is found in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, commencing to read at verse 15. And they brought unto him also, that is to Jesus, infants that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Verily I say unto you, whoever shall not receive the kingdom of heaven as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. Another reading to read the verse that has already been read, that Lee has read this evening, in John chapter 3. John chapter 3, the Lord Jesus here is speaking to a man called Nicodemus, a very religious man, probably the most religious man maybe in the city of Jerusalem at this time, a very honest and upright man, indeed a man that had the enormous privilege of being one of two men who took the Lord Jesus Christ down from the cross, who took him and wrapped him in those new linen garments and led him in that new and clean tomb. This man's name is Nicodemus. And the Lord Jesus says unto Nicodemus in verse 14, And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. And we know that God allowed a blessing to the reading of his precious word. The verses I've read this evening weren't primarily the verses I had on my mind for the gospel meeting this evening. I had thought of three sets of two men. Just before we read in Luke 18, we read the story, the parable that the Lord Jesus told of the Pharisee and the publican, and how these two men went up to the temple to pray. And one of them, the Pharisee, he could stand there and he could pray, the Bible tells us, in himself. And he said, God, I thank you, I'm not as other men are. But then we see what the publican prayed. Now, the publican had a different meaning and a different job back in those days that they do today. A publican back then was a tax collector, and he didn't even lift his eyes up to heaven, but he looked down to the earth, he smote upon his breast, and he said, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I thought of two men's declarations. I was also thinking then of the thief on the cross, the two thieves on the cross beside the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was thinking of them as two men and their deaths. You know, there will come that time when every one of us will pass out of time into eternity. And death is no respecter of age. I was speaking to a neighbour this morning. And it broke my heart to hear that his sister's 9-year-old grandson will not be long left in this earth. 9 years of age. But here was two men, and here they hung beside the Lord Jesus Christ as he hung on the middle cross. One of them trusted him. One of them refused him. Tonight, one of them's in a lost eternity. The other one is in paradise with the person that he put his trust in. Then my mind went to Luke 16, and I thought there of the rich man and Lazarus. And how that the rich man, it says, he was dressed well, he ate well, and he lived and he died and in hell. And it says that the beggar, he died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. I thought of two men and their destinies. Friend, in the meeting tonight, how do you see yourself in the light of a holy God? Do you see yourself as the Pharisee saw himself? I'm not too bad. I'm too young. I don't need this. Or do you see yourself as the publican seen himself, a sinner? But as I thought of the meeting tonight again, and I'm so glad to see so many young people, I read the reason I read the verses was that suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for as such is the kingdom of heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ said, except you accept the kingdom of heaven as a little child, you'll not enter into it. You know, as you get older, you'll start to complicate it. And as Lee has already been telling, there'll be things come in, and things come into your mind, and things, other things to take priority, and different priorities. Accept it as a little child. You know, it's near 40 years ago now since Lee was born. It will be on the 17th of May this year. And when he was a little boy, there were times when we would have set him as back to the settee, and you would have took a step back on your knees, and you would have put your hands out, and you would have said, come. And he came. Couldn't walk, but he came. He trusted that you would catch him, that you would support him. That's the faith that you need if you're ever going to be in heaven. God says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. All you have to do is come. And as I thought of that, I thought of this story that the Lord Jesus Christ reminded Nicodemus of in John chapter 15. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He could start in his Bible at Genesis chapter 1 and go right through the book of Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. All these five books he could say off by heart. I couldn't do that. He was a very religious man. He knew all the stories of the Old Testament. He knew the story of that the Lord Jesus told him about that was found in Numbers chapter 21. He says, Nicodemus. He had previously had told him, Nicodemus, you must be born again. This confused Nicodemus. See, he had got old. And things had started to come in, and he started to question things. He started to think about things. He wasn't thinking about getting saved as a little child. When the Lord Jesus Christ told him, Nicodemus, you must be born again, he started to wonder and he started to ponder. And he says, how can I be born? I'm old. How can I be born again? The Lord Jesus was able to tell him that when he was born as a little baby, he received life to live in this earth. But if he ever was going to be in heaven, if he ever was going to spend eternity in the presence of God, he needed new life. And only God could give them that life. And this is how he then told him, Nicodemus, how you can get it. He says, Nicodemus, you remember the story of how the people had sinned and complained against God, and how God had sent fiery serpents among the people, and they were biting the people, and poison was entering their bodies, and they were dying as they lay on the desert floor. And the people came to Moses, and they said to Moses, Moses, you go and you pray to God and tell him to take away the serpents, that we won't get bitten, that we won't die. Moses went and he prayed to God on behalf of the people. But God said, no, I'm not going to take the serpents away. I'm not going to stop the serpents biting the people and the people dying. But I tell you what I will do. Moses, you go and you get a serpent or make a serpent out of brass. He says, I want you to take it to the middle of the camp and I want you to get a very large pole and put it up in the middle of the camp and put the serpent on it. And here's what I want you to tell the people. That as they lie there on the desert ground, if they're bitten, that if they look to that serpent, they will live. What a simple message. Such a simple message. Look and live. And you know, can you see two people maybe lying on the desert floor, both bitten by the serpents? And one of them says, but Moses said that God said. Didn't matter what Moses said. It's what God said. One said, God says, look, and I'll live. And he looked, and God kept his word, and he lived. And the other man, as he lay lying, or boy or girl or woman, as they lay on the desert floor, bit by the serpent, and they said, I don't believe that. Or I'll leave it for a while. Maybe this poison will go away on its own. And they pass out of time into eternity. Who was wise? The one who believed God. And friend, in the meeting tonight, the gospel message is a simple message. God doesn't ask you to do anything difficult. He doesn't ask you to pay anything, to do anything to try and merit God's salvation. God has already paid the price when his son died at the place which is called Calvary. The Bible tells us that there at Calvary, God punished his son on account of your sins, account of my sins. And the price has been paid. Drops of precious blood has been shed. And the Bible tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. You know, you can't work for this. You know, I sometimes think about it, that if we came to the likes of Christmas time when we've just passed, somebody brings you a present and they offer you it as a gift, and you say, thank you very much, and you put your hand in, you pull your wallet or your purse out and say, here's a wee bit of money towards it. What an insult to the person giving you the gift. But yet, if you think that you can merit God's salvation by what you do, you're doing the very same to God. God has paid a price that we can never fully understand. He sent his son. His son went to the place which is called Calvary. His son died on account of your sin, on account of mine. And he says to you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He doesn't ask you to do anything else. Why would you try? Why would you insult God in such a way? Why not just take God at his word? As the bitten Israelite did in the desert floor that day, when God said, look and live, he looked, he lived. The Bible tells us, believe and be saved. You know, friend, tonight, it's not complicated. It's like a little child. Childlike faith, we sometimes hear people say. God says it. God says, this is what I have to do. Why not do it? Why not put your faith and trust tonight on the very seat where you sit, on the person of God's beloved Son? What does he say he will do? He says, you will be saved. You'll never be in hell. You'll be in heaven. I trust that with these few stammering remarks and the testimony that has gone before, that you will be as simple as a little child. You know, when we studied in university at a time, we studied about the KISS principle. Keep it simple, stupid. God hasn't made salvation complicated. He has paid the price. The Lord Jesus Christ, on those hours of darkness, he bare our sins in his own body on the tree. And when those hours were up, he could cry with a loud voice, it is finished. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Nothing more needs to be done. All you have to do is believe God and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. And I trust that before you leave this building, because God doesn't promise you tomorrow. As Lee has already said, the Word of God tells us now is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. Trust Him. Know your sins forgiven. God says that those that trust Him, their sins and their iniquities, will I remember no more forever. Isn't that wonderful? To know that the very time you trust Christ, your sins and your iniquities, He will remember no more forever. You'll never face them. I trust that you'll be wise in our meeting tonight and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. Let us close in prayer.